Morning. My name is Carl Sams. It's my pleasure as chair of the board this year to introduce our president, Dr. Janet Cole. Dr. Cole was born in Oklahoma City. Her parents wanted to see a lot different parts of the country and experience the culture of at each place. So they moved the family around every 3 to 4 years. I would have guessed that would have been a military family, which was, in my case, we moved a lot, but it was a different reason. This resulted in Janet living in Oklahoma, Montana, Arizona, South Dakota, as she was growing up. She completed high school in South Dakota, then went to South Dakota State University, where she completed a BS degree in horticulture and commercial economics. Upon graduation from South Dakota State University, Janet worked as a committee secretary for the South Dakota State Legislature for one of the legislative sessions, then worked as a local garden center at a local garden center transplanting seedlings to sales packs to be finished for the spring sales. With encouragement from the horticulture faculty at South Dakota State University, Janet decided to pursue an MS degree in horticulture at Kansas State University. As a graduate student, Janet was selected to serve as a teaching assistant. This teaching experience revealed a new passion for Janet. Eventually, she pursued a PhD at Texas A&M University and served as a graduate teaching assistant during a large portion of her degree there. Upon completion of her PhD, she went to Oklahoma State University as an assistant professor with a 65% research, 35% teaching appointment in ornamental horticulture. She worked her way through the ranks of assistant, associate, and full professor at OSU. In 2010, she was awarded the title of Regents Professor. Regents Professor is the highest rank that any faculty member can attain at Oklahoma State University. It recognizes the few select faculty who have made unique contributions in several areas, including research, artistic performance, creativity, teaching, and extension. About 5 years ago, Janet became head of the Department of Horticulture and Landscape Architecture at Oklahoma State University, a position which she holds today. Throughout her career, Dr. Cole has been actively involved in ASHS. She has served the society in numerous national and regional committees. She's also served on the board of directors as vice president for education division and has served as the president of the southern region. And of course, now she is president of ASHS. Today, Janet will be discussing reflections on a career in horticulture and the impacts of ASHS.
Thank you, Carl. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm guessing that the presidential address and business meeting probably are not the primary reason why you come to ASHS. And so thanks for taking the time to be here, and I hope that during the presentation this morning there's at least a nugget that you can take with you and use in your particular situation. So I need to set some boundaries for this discussion, and before your eyes glaze over here, I need to give a little bit of background. My spouse is a land surveyor who specializes in boundary surveys, and so I asked him if he would give me a diagram of boundaries so that I could use that to set boundaries. Well, what he did was put together a drawing that includes all of his minimum standards, and you can imagine what some of our meal conversations are like as my eyes glaze over, and then I realize, oh, I just need to know the boundaries. Just focus on the boundaries, ignore the other stuff, and deal with it. So the way I'm setting boundaries on this presentation today is that there are lots of different types of careers in horticulture. There's lots of things that I could talk about. There's lots of different experiences that people have in horticulture. So I'm going to limit this presentation to the career that I think most ASHS members have, and that is one that focuses on research with perhaps a mixture of teaching and extension or teaching or extension. And so I think most of you will probably have a similar career. We all have different experiences, but I think, I hope that some of the things that I have to share with you today will resonate with you as well. So think about this. You've finished that PhD, you've completed all the paperwork, you've turned in that dissertation, you've interviewed for the job, you're all excited, you show up for the first day on the job, and then all of a sudden you're thrown into this fog. Because that new place that you went has different policies, different procedures, different ways of doing things, and you have to figure out how to navigate all of that. So we spend a lot of time in that first few months of our career trying to learn the system, basically, and get through that fog so that things clear up for us. Back when I was in that foggy stage in the first few years of my career, I had a few senior faculty who saw something in me that I didn't necessarily see myself, and they started appointing me or asking me if they could appoint me to committees in ASHS. And being a young faculty member, you always say yes, right? Because you're afraid to say no. And so I found myself on committees, and at the time I didn't really necessarily understand all the impacts of that and the fact that being on those committees would allow me to meet other people in the profession and that those people eventually might become resources for me. So in my particular situation, as Carl mentioned in the intro, my passion became teaching. And so it took a while to set up my research program, but also to set up my teaching program. And as I worked through setting up that program, I found classes to be going well, and I started advising student organizations. But I realized that those students needed exposure to more than what I could give them in a classroom or in their club activities. And so I started wondering, how can I provide opportunities for them beyond their everyday usual activities and perhaps get them involved beyond campus? And so it took a long time, but eventually I was able to get students interested in participating in Southern Region, primarily in their judging contest. And the first year that I brought students to the contest, the meeting was in New Orleans, and we got there, and when they set up the judging contest, it was not set up well. The classes were not set up correctly. And when it came to officer elections, the officers were very negative about what they had been doing. And so I realized that the problem there was that there was no leadership for them and no consistency across years. The students really were on their own, and they had no way to pass information on from one year to the next. And so I was really frustrated about that because I had worked really hard to get students to go to that event for several years, and I finally got them there, and then the experience that they had was really not a very good one. And so at that point, I talked to Paul Smeal, who was then the executive secretary for Southern Region, and said, well, If nobody else is going to be advisor, I'll do it. I want students to have a good experience. And, of course, that was all Paul needed to hear was, oh, somebody's going to take over and do this. And so the board appointed me for a year, and then they reappointed me the following year for a three-year commitment to that program. And so that was a really good experience for me to be able to work with the students and to work with other faculty who had a passion in working with students and also in horticulture and learning from each other how they did different things at their schools. So time goes by. This is my roadrunner. And our programs gain some speed. Time comes for us to be considered for promotion and tenure. And then we realize, oh man, not only do I have to put a packet together, I have to identify some people to be references for me. Who in the world is going to be a reference? I can't use my old major professor. They're probably not going to go for that. So what am I going to do? And so who can write those better or letters? Well, now, because of my experiences in ASHS, I have all these colleagues that I can contact and ask them if they would support me with a letter. And that goes not only for the promotion and tenure process, but also as you go through your career and you're recognized with awards, somebody has to nominate you and somebody has to write those letters. And so the contacts that we make and the interactions that we have with folks at ASHS give us an opportunity to do that. Now, in our careers, especially those who are in research appointments, we generally have to work with collaborators. And especially as we're working toward obtaining funding sources like to see multidisciplinary, multi-institution teams with a wide field of expertise. So how do you figure that out? Well, once again, we have these colleagues in ASHS who may not necessarily be a collaborator, but they have all these other contacts, and they may be able to connect me with somebody else who has that expertise that can fill a void in my team. Now, you have to remember, collaborators have their positives and their negatives. Finding somebody with the right expertise to fit the need can be a challenge. Finding somebody with the right expertise who works well on a team can be a bigger challenge. And so finding the proper person who can work in the midst of the team and be productive is really important, and our colleagues in ASHS can help with that. Now, sometimes things happen, and if you look really closely at this little blue stem, you'll see that it's completely covered with ice. This is one of our ice storms in Oklahoma. They are pretty common. We lose electricity a lot. I can't understand why Oklahoma electrical companies don't put all of their electricity underground, but they still think that up in the air is good, and so every time we have an ice storm, we have power outages. But the way I want to bring this into the presentation is that things don't always go according to plan. Things happen. And so even though this little blue stem is completely covered in ice, it's still standing tall. And I think that we can learn a lesson from that. Even though things don't go for us exactly like we think every day, and sometimes it's a challenge to deal with some of those issues, we can still stand tall and we can work through those things and not let adversity get us down. So we need to stand up and we need to move forward as best we can. Now, when we start our careers, we blend in with our surroundings. We are no different than anybody else. We just got our degree. We're out there. We're ready to go. But there's nothing that really sets us apart from anybody else. But with time, we begin to stand out from the crowd. And we do that because of the successes that we have in our work that we do and the recognition that we get from the people around us, some of those being our friends and colleagues in our society. And people start to take notice of us. So time flutters by. Well, actually, maybe it flies by, I think. Feels more like it flies by. And suddenly we find that we're not that brand new faculty member. We're the experienced faculty member, and our roles need to change. As we become mid-career and late-career faculty, or if you're not in a faculty position, if you're in an industry position or whatever, still our roles are going to change. And that doesn't mean that we can stand on our laurels and just sit back and say, okay, I've done my thing, I'm done, I'll just hang on till I'm ready to get out of here. Instead, we need to step back into the shadows and work with our younger faculty. Be that faculty member who steps up and says, you know, you would be a really good committee member, or you should serve as a moderator at a conference, or you should be involved in perhaps pursuing an office, maybe a vice presidency. And that way, it helps our younger faculty have the same opportunities that we had, or at least that I had, to make our name and to be successful in our career and help them get started. Those young faculty are the future of our departments. They're also the future of ASHS. So anything that can be done to help them make their way, the way that we've made our way, is going to be very beneficial to them. But there's some things that we can't forget along the way. Work's not our whole life. At least it shouldn't be. Sometimes we let it get in the way. We do need to take time for family. Call your mom once in a while. My mom's the one on the left here. Her older sister's on the right, and then their brother-in-law is in the center. Also, get out and do some fun things that you like to do. This is my land surveyor spouse. This is at a rock park in Kansas. And for those of you who don't know, I am a geocacher, and he supports that. And so there was geocaches at this park. And so we get outside and we enjoy to travel and geocache and just see the new things and places that it takes us to. One final thought, and I believe I saw this sign in a restaurant in Little Rock at a Southern Region meeting. And it says, you can't climb the ladder of success with your hands in your pockets. Okay, so the bottom line here is you have to work at it. It takes time. It takes effort. But also there's some fun there. There's some enjoyment of meeting the colleagues. I find that when I come to this conference now that I've been a part of ASHS for many years, that it's almost like a family reunion to come here. And so I meet old friends, and people are willing to help and be a part of my life, and that has been just amazing to me. So I hope that you find the same experiences, and I hope that the rest of your day goes well today.
We'll take just a second for other members of the board to come to the podium or come to the front. As chair of the board of directors, I would like to welcome you to Las Vegas and call to order this 116th annual business meeting of the American Society for Horticultural Science. I would now call on our executive director, Mike Neff, to verify a quorum. We require 100 members to be present to constitute the quorum. Mike counts very fast. So, all right. Now that we're all we are legally convened, it's my pleasure and privilege to report to you some of the events that have occurred in our society since our last business meeting in Washington, D.C. in August of 2018. I could say that this has been a very exciting year for our society. It's also been a very busy year. Most, if not everyone, is aware that this was the year of the new Farm Bill. So first, I would like to say thank our National Issues Committee, Thomas Borkman, who has done exemplary duty for several years now, pulling together our National Issues Committee and trying to bring specialty crops. I still say horticultural crops about 90% of the time, but specialty crops to the forefront and keep it in front of the legislature and keep our funding going. And this year was no exception. With the Farm Bill, Thomas and the whole committee did a lot of activity. Mike Neff, Thomas did at least two or three special sessions and hearings to testify for horticulture to the members who were forming that Farm Bill. So, and as it turns out, we did fairly well. Specialty crops, horticulture, did fairly well in the 2018 Farm Bill. Can't say it's all due to ASHS politicking. We have an awful lot of growers out there and industries that supported this bill very heavily. But I do personally thank our National Issues Committee for representing us so well. Another thing that we did this year, this is addressed mostly to the graduate students and postdocs in the audience. We formed an association with American, we formed an alliance with the Association of AAAS, American Association for the Advancement of Science. And we now, if you go to our front page, we now have a module click there that you can click directly on that and you can go to AAAS website. You will pick up at the member price for AAAS, you'll pick up any of their training modules. They have over 200 of them. Some of them are related to resume writing, career building, how do you build a career for outside of academia when you've been trained in academia. There's some wonderful ones there. They're reasonably priced. The one that my graduate students liked most was what you should know that your advisor didn't bother to tell you. So I'm not sure why they like that so much, but anyway, it's these modules are good. They're priced well, and in fact, we're actually getting a little cheaper than the members get. So that and that's a, that was a long negotiated deal that we, I think, were the first and last that got that deal. So take advantage of it. We also took on a new accounting firm this past year. And according to most of our office, we're getting the records faster now, and they're much better organized and easier to present. Another thing that occurred was the move of Hort Technology on January the 1st, 2019, to open access. A little scary move. We had projected a 10% loss in the figures to cover that. And as it turned out, the first 6 to 7 months of this year, we were up 20% over the previous 3 years in terms of submissions. So if acceptance tracks with submissions and over 31% over the previous 6 years, so it's looking good. Based on that and based on the fact that our library subscriptions and personal subscriptions kept declining, the board voted to take the journal and Hort Science to open access effective January the 1st, 2020. So we will, as of early next year, be in full open access for all of our journals. I've mentioned this before, but there's many advantages of that. Impact factors go up. I'll also say again, I'm not really impressed by impact factors, but many of you have administrators who are going to evaluate you on them. So if that in that case, I think it's going to be good because they will go up. The other thing that I'm passionate about is that we have a wealth of information that helps the world, and the world isn't seeing it, so now they'll see it. We're also related to that, we also are still continuing an effort to get all of the ASHS back journals back to 1903, get them digitized, put DOI numbers on them, and put them into open access. Now, there's a sort of secret goal behind that, and that goal is to make sure that Jules Janik, is Jules here? We want to improve his impact factor and John Clark's impact factor. People have been around and published those ancient papers. We want to get their we want to get their impact factors up because they're worried about it as they near retirement. So, I think I would end. It's a busy year. There may be plenty of things happen that I'm not going to cover today, but I would like to end by saying that I and all of you should give. Show a great deal of appreciation for the ASHS management team, including our Executive Director, Mike Neff, and our Assistant Executive Director, Tracy Sean, and Nagar Madhavian, Heather Hilko, Angie Lauer, and Sarah Powell. We have a very lean staff. I forgot, Mike, maybe 15 years ago we had 21 staff. Now we have 3 full-time staff and 7 part-time staff, and we're running extremely efficient. And I don't think anybody can have any complaints. If you call, you get an answer, and they solve your problems pretty quick. So I'm very appreciative of our staff, and I would like to give them a big round of applause for the work that they do. I would now like to call on our treasurer and chair of the Finance Committee, Peter Hurst, to present the financial report for the Society for this previous year. Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to summarize the financial report for ASHS fiscal year that ended on 31st of December 2018. This report will be published in an upcoming issue of ASHS eNews and is on the back page of your program. The opinion of our independent auditors was unqualified, which means all records and accounts were in good order and no extraordinary matters were found. So that's really good news. If you look at the back page of your program, you'll see a summary of the accounts, and let me briefly summarize this. This shows 2017 and 2018 actual amounts and the budget for 2018. I'd like to point out just a few issues here. The first thing is, in the top part of that is revenue and support. You'll see that publications by far is the largest category of our revenue. And so the news made by Carl a few minutes ago that our going to open access with Hort technology has led to an increase in submissions is really good news for the Society, both for our journals, but also from a fiscal point of view. So most of our categories of revenue and support were broadly in line with our budget, except for one item, and that was investment income. You'll see there that in 2018, we lost $79,541. For those of you with retirement accounts, the fact that they went down in 2018 will be no surprise. Sometimes they go up and sometimes they go down, and we hope that they go up more often than they go down. So 2018 was not a good year. The good news is that we've more than made up that loss so far in 2019, and we hope that trend continues throughout the rest of the year. So overall, our total revenue and support was down slightly on our budget by $47,000 in 2018. In terms of our expenses, I'd like to point out one item that we just discovered yesterday in the accounts, that one item was misallocated between publications and meetings. And this was a total of $199,961. So basically, publications should be lower by $200,000 and meetings should be higher by $200,000. The bottom line is exactly the same. It's just a where that expense turned up in which category. So basically, we were in line with budget. Our total expenses were very close to our budget. And in fact, if you look at our loss of investments, if you take that out of the mix, we actually had a operating surplus of $42,000. And so, and most of that was attributable to a vacancy in a staff position for a period of time. So let's go to the bottom part of the page, our statement of financial position. The first thing I'd point out is you'll notice 2017 versus 2018, our cash at the end of the year was lower by $110,000. That's actually, there's good news in that, because our accounts payable was also lower by $110,000. So the reason for that is because of our new accounting procedures, we're paying our bills quicker, and so we had less cash on hand because we'd paid our bills quicker. So our bottom line, skipping right to the bottom here, you'll notice a decrease in net assets by $597,896. So that decrease of about $600,000 was primarily due to two factors. One is Seed Your Future funds. These are funds that we have managed in the past, and legally we are required to report, even though that money's not really ours. It's a pass-through. And so, but we were obliged to report that. And so Seed Your Future funds is part of that, and decline in investments is the other part of that. So overall, I think it's a positive financial position that we're in. And to date, for 2019, things are looking in a very positive direction. That concludes my report. Thank you.
I would like to now call on our Executive Director, Mike Neff, for the Director's Report.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate that. Usually the case, my predecessors in this meeting steal some of the thunder that or comments that I also intend to make. But I also want to thank the ASHS staff. We and I have an outstanding staff on and work to the benefit of this organization all the time. Certainly Tracy Son is one of her titles is Assistant Executive Director. I can't list them all because we have a time limit here. She really handles the smooth operation of ASHS and oversees most of the day-to-day activities, giving freeing me up to do the bigger picture things, which makes us more effective, certainly on the Hill, I hope, and in other areas and collaborations with other organizations such as Seed Your Future and many other organizations that ASHS collaborates with. Nagar Madavian, certainly here. If you have anything to do with our technical program, she's the person that handles this. She knows our system in and out. In fact, just before this meeting, we're dealing with a potential session change already, so it never ends. And we also brought, three of our staff members, Angie, Heather, and I hope Sarah, you've all met this week, each with their own specialized roles. And that's what we've done. As Carl mentioned, it wasn't quite 21. We had a peak of 14 staff members 25 years ago, full-time on staff. Since then, we now have three full-time members and seven part-time members. That's a pretty big reduction in the number of folks working for ASHS. Certainly technology has helped with the ability to do that, but we also have a dedicated team that's really making a big difference in allowing us to expand our programs and offerings and support systems within the organization. Really, ASHS is one big family. I hope you feel that. Newer attendees, as Janet said, you will feel that. And it's a very close-knit society, as is horticulture in general or as a profession. And, you know, part of that family is certainly my family. I would certainly acknowledge my wife, Marlena, who has attended meetings nearly as long as I have, maybe 5 years fewer. And along the lines, naturally, we started bringing our daughters to ASHS meetings when they were about yay high. And as it turns out, 20-some years later, I shan't say a woman's age, but our youngest daughter now attends ASHS conferences as a member and a horticulturist. So we actually raised a horticulturist. So it's very good. In addition to other good financial news that we have, and that's always the positive, that the society has 5 years left on our 15-year mortgage. We will own, as most property in the Washington, D.C. area, very valuable asset for the society to have, and in 5 years we'll be paid off. And I don't want to ever move again, so let's keep this one a while after moving four times during my time with ASHS. So the society is in very good shape with very good assets, and we intend to certainly keep it that way, as we have certainly most of my career, most of it. And one last thing I want to announce. I've discovered that it's not yet common knowledge for most people, but welcome to Las Vegas. You have to admit that it wasn't as hot as the last time we were here. So it's been and cloudy and pleasant in the past couple of days. But next year we will be in Orlando, Florida, at our usual haunt in Orlando, the Rosen Hotel on International Drive, I Drive. In 2021, we will be going to Denver, Colorado. And in 2022, we will be in Chicago, Illinois. So we'll see you there. But thank you for your support, as always. And as Carl said, please contact headquarters, any of us, at any time, and we will try our quickest to help you resolve any issues that you have or answer any questions that you need answered. And so thank you for your support.
My math error on that 21 was these people move so fast it's like trying to count goldfish in a tank. So I overcounted them, I guess. So, but the major point is we're running lean and mean and very effective. And I can tell you the 3 years that I've been on this board, I couldn't have done any of this. And most of you wouldn't have anywhere near this nice a meeting that we always have without our folks at headquarters. So they're very truly appreciated. And when you meet them in the hallway, tell them you appreciate them, except for Tracy. She's mean to me all the time. So, no, she's not. She's not. I would like to now, if you look at your program, there's a list of members who have deceased during the past since our last annual conference. I would like to read. Please join me. I'm going to read the names, and then we'll have a moment of silence for these members. The first is Auguste A. DeHerto from Raleigh, North Carolina. He was an ASHS member from 1966 to 2018. He was an ASHS fellow in 1981, and he deceased October the 26th in 2018. Alfred E. Al Einhart from Fayetteville, Arkansas, ASHS member from 64 to 2001, deceased the 22nd of August in 2018. Francis R. Frank Goen from Deal, Maryland, ASHS member from 1961 to 2018, fellow in 1984, patron of the ASHS Endowment Fund, and deceased the 2nd of August, 2018. Charles E. Hess, Davis, California, member 1957 to 2019, ASHS president in 72 to 73, fellow in 1970, ASHS Hall of Fame in 2013, Liberty Hyde Bailey Club of the ASHS Endowment Fund, deceased the 13th of April, 2019. And Mike tells me that he called right before his death and wanted to know how much money he needed to donate to move up to the next category, and did it as one of his last gestures of appreciation and loyalty and love for ASHS. So it's a pretty impressive character. And everybody who met him knows he was a pretty impressive character. Carl Jorgensen, Fort Collins, Colorado. Member 1964 to 1970, deceased the 3rd of May 2018. Leonard M. Pike, residing in Ackworth, Georgia. Member 1966 to 2006, fellow 1991, deceased the 12th of January 2019. George T. Tereskovich, Austin, Texas, member 1959 to 2018, deceased the 7th of July, 2018. Barbara D. Webster from Davis, California, member 1974 to 95, fellow 1987, and deceased the 7th of September, 2017. Are there any other members who are not mentioned here that we don't know about or have not been made aware about? Because it depends on our membership notifying headquarters, and so we try to get a record and show appreciation for our members. Anyone from the floor know of anyone else? Jack Staub, okay. Others? Okay, if not, we'll observe a moment of silence. Thank you. You've heard my report, our treasurer's report, and the report of the executive committee. We would now like to open the floor for other business. And if you have questions or comments, please use the microphone. Anyone got questions? Yeah.
Hey, Peter Petrocic, Valen Biosciences. Want to find out about so PGRSA folded some time ago. Has anything been done with that as far as what's going on with the publications, the money that we had, and things like that? Is it going to become part of ASHS? Will it be a special section? But just let us know. Let me know what where we're at in that.
I can take a lead on this, and Mike can. You want to do it? Okay, that's right. He's got the financial facts.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. We are in continuing negotiations, and that's probably a strong term, but discussions with PGRSA as a 501c status with them. There are many legal hoops and jumps that you have to make to actually dissolve. But yes, they did vote to dissolve. We're in negotiations now about what the ideal status for PGRSA would be. The last discussions item that we've had was possibly becoming a interest group within ASHS and continuing PGRSA activities and focuses through that avenue. The revenue would be earmarked and maintained in support of that interest group, and we're still in the process of determining any legal financial obligations that PGRSA may or may not have. It's a lot of legwork to get it, but we are on the road to getting it resolved. But our hope from ASHS is certainly management side is that PGRSA activities and focuses will continue under the umbrella of ASHS. So we're making progress, though. We have to know something by the December 31st legally, so they do. So. I'm sorry, I can't. Oh, we will. Oh, we'd be glad to accept help. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. That is what I understood, and I've spoken with a couple of the last management team on PGRSA. And the reality is, they have to file before we can do anything, and there has to be a rectification of the records so that there's honest accounting of what's actually left. Because until all bills are paid, all items are cleared, and the business is closed out, there is nothing to move according to IRS. So a little more blunt than what Mike said. So it's up to them to close the records and file the closures, and they have only, what, two or three more months to do that. So having been in that society and served as president of that society, I'm very passionate about trying to keep that alive. But somebody's got to do something on that end before it can happen on ASHS end. So I just wanted to be the villain to verify that it's not ASHS that's holding things up. So, and Mike will keep everybody informed. So Are there other questions from the floor for business?
Craig Campbell, I have a comment about American consumers. They're voting with their dollars to buy fruits, vegetables, and beautiful plants. And that is no doubt one of the reasons we had such good support in the Farm Bill. Mm-hmm. They're also voting with their dollars to buy organic fruits and vegetables and ornamental plants as well. And so we need to help reach out to consumers more and more, keep the demand high, which will help keep our support strong. Mm-hmm. I think that's important.
I don't know if anyone else has a comment on that, but I personally totally agree with you. And we have formed a couple of committees the last year that are media relations committees and so forth, acting committees in the society who are charged with doing exactly that, figuring out how
to. They're very commendable. We see the nice posts, press releases. They're strong.
And it's getting off the ground now, so we look forward to very, very, very exciting things. We've got some of our more, we've got some very talented people on those committees, way more talented at media than I am. So I'm looking forward to seeing them do some great things. Other questions? Susan?
Thank you. Susan Yoder from Seed Your Future. I come on behalf of the leadership cabinet of Seed Your Future just to formally thank ASHS for your support over the years. Most of you know ASHS was one of the founding partners and is one of the founding partners of Seed Your Future, now more than 200 partners strong. And as Peter noted in his report, you were our fiscal agent until the end of 2018. You got us to a level of strength, and you are no longer serving as our fiscal agent. So just a note of appreciation formally from Seed Your Future to ASHS. Thank you.
And there were, I want to be very clear, I'm very supportive of Seed Your Future. I had nothing to do with that. So I do not take credit that I didn't earn. John Doe, Mary Meyer, Mike Neff, and am I forgetting anybody? We had several key, Janet maybe, Brian? I'm sorry, Brian. How can I forget Brian? Brian with Longwood Gardens, obviously, is very instrumental. But we had some really excellent membership participation in that. It was going on before I came to the board, and they accelerated, and it's just a wonderful deal. And Peter's already explained that money, we didn't really lose that money. It wasn't our money. We held it, and then it's now in Seed Your Future's hands. So, other questions? If not, we'll close out the question period of the business meeting, and we'll move on to awards. And I would like to turn the meeting over to Andrew King, Chair of the ASH Collegiate Activities Committee, to announce the winners of our undergraduate competitions.
Thank you. Well, it's an honor to stand before you today on behalf of the Collegiate Activity Committee. We had a lot of support this year, a number of judges, not quite so many as the graduate posters and oral presentations required, but quite a few, and so I'd like to thank them all for their support. We had a number of undergraduate registrants this year and a lot of participants. We could always handle more, and so if you can identify a particularly promising undergraduate, please bring them to this meeting. It's so valuable, and the quality of the work that they do is extremely good. If you've not been to one of the undergraduate oral presentations or seen many of their posters, I would encourage you to do that in future meetings. It is an awesome thing to watch them do their work. So we had great participation. We could always handle more. We had great support. And so let me tell you a little bit about a few changes that took place this year. In the past, we've always had a commodities judging contest. Last year, feedback from the students, they said they didn't really want to do commodities judging this year, and so we changed that. We had a scavenger hunt. And if you've never put a scavenger hunt together, you should, because it's quite a thing. And I will say this, I'm glad I got to do it in Las Vegas, because it was fairly easy to do. As we have a Eiffel Tower not far from here, and we have the Lady Liberty not far from here. So we had a number of people participate in the scavenger hunt, which then led into bonus points for our plant identification contest, which we still had this year as well. The winner of our scavenger hunt contest this year was Kendall Shaw from Texas A&M. If you would stand and we'll recognize you. All right, and then we had three individual winners of the plant identification contest. The third place winner this year was Alvaliz Jimenez from Texas A&M University. Our second place winner, Julie Hershkovitz from Utah State University. Our first place winner, Adrian Hill.
Julie's on a tour, so she's not here this morning. I'm sorry.
All right, no problem. Our first place winner, Adrian Hill from Utah State University. The team competition went as follows. The third place winners, and I don't believe they're able to be here this morning. Their flight left early. Middle Tennessee State University. The second place team, Utah State University. And the first place winners of the Plant ID competition, Texas A&M University. I'd also like to add that we had great support from the folks here in Nevada, especially Angela O'Callaghan, and she got a number of master gardeners and a few nurseries in the area enlisted, and we had great plant selections this year. Of course, we also have a great poster and oral presentation competition, and again, those were judged by a number of members, and I'm very appreciative to them. Also appreciative to the major professors and the advisors who brought these students and encouraged them to come. Our poster competition this year, the third place winner is Texanna Miller from Clemson University with the poster PPE Zap, a DNA test for routine prediction and breeding of peach bacterial spot fruit resistance. And again, if you're here, please stand and be recognized. Our second place winner, Kenneth J. Sweeney from Florida Gulf Coast University, with accuracy and ease of use evaluated for several different chlorophyll meters. And our first place winner, who of course will receive a nice certificate, it'll all be mailed in the future, Caroline Plecky from University of Arizona, evaluating the rhizosphere microbiome associated with allelopathy of an iconic desert shrub. And the oral presentation competition. We had a number of participants in that this year. The third place winner, Tessa A. Barker from Oregon State University, the impact of season and rooting hormone rate on root number and length for propagated olive cuttings in Oregon. Our second place winner, Grace Raglin from Louisiana State University, creating ADA-compliant print and digital extension publications. And our first place winner in the oral presentation, Autumn Brown from the University of Arkansas, the estimation of additive and dominance effects of a mutant glutathione S transferase gene on anthocyanin and proanthocyanidin content in muscadine grape Vitis rotundifolia. Round of applause. I had to say that because I had practiced it a few times. So, anyway, thank you all for all of the support. Again, next year, Orlando, bring more undergrads, because I think, as we all feel, as the undergraduate portion of our competitions is healthy, the graduate portions are then healthy, and our entire society is more healthy. Thank you all.
It's now my pleasure to call to the stage David Kopsel, who's the incoming Education Division Vice President, and Dave is filling in for Amy Riott, who had to depart the conference yesterday, and he will present for those awards.
Okay, thank you, Carl. Before I get to the awards, I'd really like to recognize all the hard work that goes into organizing these student competitions, and also the volunteerism of the judges who help it. And again, with what Andrew's done with the undergraduates and what Lorenzo Rossi has done with the graduate students, is really paving the future for our society. So please, in the future, if you have the time when you're at the conference, volunteer to be a judge. It's a very rewarding experience, and you really get to do a lot of great mentorship with students. So now what I'd like to do is I'm going to first announce the graduate student poster competition. And first of all, we're going to start with the winners of the master's graduate student poster competition. And if the winners are here, I'd ask that you please stand. And as just what Andrew said, your awards will be mailed to you. The third place goes to Yunjia Liu from the University of Minnesota for poster number 283, titled Morphological Trait Variation in the Arctic Daisy. Okay. Second place goes to Brian Nayakundi from Chapman University for poster number 406, titled Irradiation on Expression of Genes Involved in Ethylene Biosynthesis of Granny Smith Apples. Okay. And first place goes to Ashlyn Fix from Texas A&M University for poster number 246, titled Mission Melon, Improving Qualitative Traits in Cucumis Melo Using Phenomics. Okay, and now moving on to the PhD student, graduate student poster competition. And again, if the winners are here, we ask you to please stand. Okay, third place goes to Prathiba Acharya from Texas A&M University, poster number 382, titled Post-Harvest Storage and Neoparticle Treatment Alter the Bioactive Compounds of Diploid and Triploid Watermelon. Okay. Second place in the PhD poster competition goes to Erica Casagrande Baezus from Washington State University at their Tree Fruit Research Center for poster number 49, titled Associating Rootstock-Based Variation in Whole Plant Physiological Traits with Leaf Carbon and Oxygen Isotope Composition in Malus Domestica. And first place in the PhD poster competition goes to Elise Renner from the University of Minnesota for poster number 402, titled Low Red to Far Red Light Ratios Maximizes Glucobrassicin Concentration in Ruby Ball Cabbage Heads. Congratulations to all the winners. Okay, the next competition that I'm going to present is the Scholars Ignite competition. And that was a marathon session last night. How many? We had 60 presenters over the course of 3 hours. And what this competition does, if you haven't been familiar with it or got a chance to attend it, it allows graduate students to share their discoveries and creation during a 3-minute lightning presentation. And again, if the winners are here, we ask you to please stand and your awards will be mailed to you. So for the Scholars Ignite competition, again, narrowing down 60 participants to 3 places, the third place prize goes to Kelly Good from Kansas State University. Okay. Second place goes to Lauren Howe from UC Davis. Okay, and the first place finisher in this year's Scholars Ignite competition goes to Huan Zhang from Washington State University. congratulations again to all our winners, and you're looking at the future of our society. So thank you very much.
Thank you, David. 60, that's pretty impressive. I think that that pretty much says that our future of this society, if we have that many very enthusiastic people who will compete in a very competitive contest, I think our future is very secure. And you will be inheriting this society soon, so keep it up. It's now my pleasure to introduce the early winner of the Early Career Competition. The Early Career Competition was developed for new faculty and professionals to communicate the impact of their extension, research, teaching, and other scholarly activities. It's available to professionals within their first 5 years of service in their current positions. We only had one winner this year. Then the first place winner is Elisa Cho with the University of Hawaii. It works in sustainable tropical fruit and nut systems. Could you stand to begin? Also, another sign of a very healthy young part of our society, the fact that someone's willing to put themselves on the line and come forth and do that is admirable in itself. So anybody who does that, at that age, I was a little bit too inhibited to do that. So I'm very impressed with the energy in this society. And congratulations to all of you who competed. 60 people. That still blows my mind, Dave. I don't know. Wow. But okay. I've been asked by Mike to also announce the winner. We had a bet on horticulture game, and the winner of that game is Jeremy Cohen from Kansas State. And if you'll see Nagar, she has the prize for that competition. Is Jeremy here? Oh yeah. Congratulations. So they're not only energetic and impressive, they're betting on horticulture. I like that. So, and a lot of these kind of things were, again, Tracy and Nagar and the rest of our staff's ideas, and I think they've come up with some really engaging, great ideas to invigorate the meetings and make this make meeting attendance a little bit more rewarding. Okay, I would like to now turn to presenting a recognition of service to ASHS. Before I step down from my duties as chair, I would like to thank the members of the 2018-19 Board of Directors for their efforts on behalf of ASHS during their term on the board. Please stand as I call your name. President of ASHS, Janet Cole. President-elect Dennis Ray. Vice President of the Education Division, Amy Wright. Amy is not here, but we'll give her a round of applause. The Vice President of the Extension Division, Chris Watkins. Vice President for International Division, Beth Mitchum. Vice President for Research, Brandy Beaudry. Vice President for the Industry Division, Mercy Olmsted. And the Treasurer and Chair of the Finance Committee, Peter Hurst. And our Member at Large, Brian Trader. Four of our board members are now completing their 2-year terms on the Board of Directors. Amy, Beth, Randy, and Brian, would you please stand again and be recognized for excellent service over the last 2 years. So it's my honor to also present as my last official act as chair of the board and executive committee. Gives me great pleasure to present the citation of appreciation to our incoming chair, Janet Cole.
So I also get to do a recognition today, recognition of Carl. On behalf of the Society and the Board of Directors, I want to thank you for your service as chair over the past year and let you know that an appropriate thank you gift from your grateful society is going to be sent to your home so you don't have to carry it on the plane. It's also my pleasure to do a recognition for our endowment fund. Thanks to everyone who's given so generously to the endowment fund over the past 3+ decades. This year, the Society awarded $28,000 in travel grants to students to attend this conference. We urge everyone to make their tax-deductible contributions to this important cause. ASHS members donated more than $27,000 to the endowment fund since the last annual conference. Your generosity is much appreciated. The endowment fund has several levels of giving recognition. It is now my pleasure to recognize members who, through their support of the ASHS endowment fund, have enabled ASHS to offer travel grants to so many students. Our newest friends of the endowment fund, whose contributions have exceeded $1,000, are Ellen Paparosi. Our newest patron of the endowment fund, whose contributions have exceeded $5,000, are Paul Larson. This past year, we welcomed our newest member to the elite Liberty Hyde Bailey Club, ASHS past president Charles Hess, who has donated more than $20,000 to the endowment fund. As you heard earlier, Charlie passed away this year, but we're grateful to him and his wife, Eva, for their generosity. Thank you all for your support of the ASHS Endowment Fund. So at this point, I am also a has-been, I guess you might say. Dennis, if you would please come. I'm now pleased to relinquish this position and to present to you your next president, Dennis Ray, and to him his gavel.
I think it's dangerous to give me a gavel.
I don't like sitting as close to you as a gavel.
Okay. Carl is feeling it. It was great in the program this year. I don't know if you noticed, periodically, they said, thunderous applause, right? We need to hear some thunderous applause. Now, come on. If nothing else, that'll warm you up. I think they could hang meat in here. It's the wrong society, I know, but, you know, it's all right. Well, I want to thank you, Janet. Carl, who I've worked with for many years, we all were on committees together when we all started out in this society, and I was sitting out there and I thought, this is really a silly thing to go to on a Thursday morning, you know. And, you know, I'll never be anything in the society, and it may be true, I may not, Jack, so it's all right. But I want to thank Janet, and I want to thank all of you for allowing me the opportunity to serve you. The membership. I look forward to working with you this coming year. I hope we can work together in a positive manner and with mutual respect. That's respect for each other, respect for ASHS, and respect for horticulture. And all the people we touch with horticulture. So, it also said in the, our agenda here, it said brief remarks by Dennis. So with that, I will thank you and leave to thunderous applause.
So at this time, I would like to introduce the 2019-2020 Board of Directors. Those include President-elect Louise Ferguson, Education Division Vice President David Kopsel, Go ahead and stand and be recognized, please. Research Division Vice President Cherry Kubota. International Division Vice President Rolston St. Hilaire. And Member at Large Daniel Lescovar. And our newest vice president-elect, who will join the board at this time next year, Extension Division Vice President-elect Lucy Bradley. Is Lucy here? And Industry Division Vice President-elect Brian Kaur. There being no further business to come before this meeting, I now declare the annual business meeting to be adjourned. Please enjoy the rest of the conference. You can do that. And thanks to each of you for attending the annual conference of our professional society. We'll see you in Orlando next year.